Well, prepare for sweeping changes to Australia's retail trading hours, hospital regulation and transport. Federal Treasurer Scott Morrison has agreed to almost all of the recommendations from Professor Ian Harper's review of Australia's competition laws. This is the first review of this kind in over two decades. The Turnbull government says this will unleash competition, boost economic growth and deliver jobs. But first, the state governments have to come on board, and the federal government is promising a system of incentives to make that happen. Stephen King is Professor of Economics and Director of the Business Policy Forum at Monash University. For 5 years, he was a member of the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission. He's speaking here with James Carlton.
Competition policy has underpinned 20 years of economic growth in Australia. A lot of Australians don't realise that we are very, very unusual by developed countries. We've had 20 years without a recession. And the main reason for that is that Australia went through a series of reforms in the early to mid-1990s that the rest of the developed world have been copying ever since. So competition reform in the current process is really saying, what do we need to do to, again, jump ahead of the rest of the developed world and make sure that the next 20 years are as good as the last 20?
Does the policy need to be renewed in the way you describe?
Oh, definitely. The 1990 FILMA reviews or reforms focused very much on the key issue of those days, which were large government businesses that were very inefficient and really were a burden on both households and also on business. You know, they were bad old days, so they were the 1990 reforms, fixing all that up. We put a lot to one side over the last 20 years in health, education, aged care, corrections, a lot of us human services areas. We haven't had a good hard look at them to see how they can provide better services for the community. That's what these Harper reforms are all about.
And Harper makes recommendations and the government, by and large, has adopted them. What will this mean in practical terms?
It means we can move on to the next step to bring the states on board. The federal government doesn't own our hospitals, it doesn't own our schools, it doesn't directly control aged care, it doesn't directly control our prison system. They're state responsibilities. And the federal government's response, I think, is very clever. It's clever economically, it's also very clever politically, in that it's going to mimic the approach used in the 1990 reforms to get an agreement between all the state and federal governments on the process of reforms, and then to reward those states that engage fully in the reform process.
Do you anticipate resistance, however? There are eight jurisdictions, six states, two territories, many with Labor governments, which may have a less economically rationalist view than you and the government.
I think it will be a long, hard process. If they can do this, if they can pull this off in the next 12 months, it will be really a case of magnificent politics.
That is to say, you hope retail trading hours are further deregulated. Shops are open whenever they want. Taxi services, transport regulations are freed up. Parallel importing on books, all these things come in to free up the economy. But on the other side of the coin, doesn't that mean more taxi drivers with lower pay or no jobs, more people having to work in low-paid jobs on the weekend, more people having to pay more on tolls to use roads, more people being in private prisons where they may not get the public service attention, etc., etc.?
Yeah, I think the key is to recognise that any reform leads to winners and losers. And you have to make sure that you appropriately compensate the losers so that you make the pie bigger and fairer at the same time. So what will be the effects of, for example, improvements in road funding, improvements in road charging? Well, it will mean that if you're a heavy truck driver, you may face higher charges and your business may be less profitable in the future. You'll be paying, in a sense, a fairer share of the roads, but that doesn't help you individually. Well, you're in an area where there's all sorts of reform coming down the highway, to make a pun, and the reform process needs to make sure that your concerns are taken into account and the reform process brings you along so that you can adjust and adapt, and you may still at the end of it say, gosh, I'm not as well off as I was 10 years ago in a particular area, but the economy is looking a lot better, my children are a lot better off, and quite frankly, the social services that I can access are a lot better than they were 10 years ago.
The social benefits you refer to, what is health and education?
Yeah, health, education, aged care. Really, what the Harper reforms are going to do is underpin careful examination of these areas and thinking about smart ways to do it. You know, sometimes we fall into this trap of thinking, well, it's for profit, it's either Rupert Murdoch or it's the government. And the fact is, there's a whole spectrum of potential providers. There's a whole spectrum, including different forms of government agency. How to bring the not-for-profit sector in, which, quite frankly, has been ignored for a lot of this debate. And maybe somewhere down the track, we can think about the private for-profit, if it is relevant and if they are an appropriate group. But they will not be an appropriate group in all areas.
That's Stephen King, Professor of Economics and Director of the Business Policy Forum at Monash University, speaking with James Carlton.